board meeting of Glenwood Park Community. The order, Lisa, please roll, call the roll and note the time.
Okay, it is 7:02. Commissioner Boras?
Yes.
Commissioner Foggy?
Here.
Mr. Lennon?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Here.
President Brooks?
Yes. Consent agenda items A through F are routine recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented. Can I get
so
a
moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Cuddy?
Yes.
Mr. Lennon?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, motion passes. Approval of a resolution adopting temporary rules for public comment during the governor's declaration of emergency, resolution number 911. I entertain a motion to approve the resolution adopting temporary rules for public comment during the governor's declaration of emergency, resolution number 911, as presented.
It's an appropriate resolution number, don't you think?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Sir, who was seconding?
Dudley?
Okay,
and Josh? Yeah.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Cuddy?
Yes.
Mr. Lennon?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, on to matters from the public based on resolution number 911. We are only taking public comment via email up to 15 minutes prior to the meeting. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comment you've received.
I received no public comments.
Okay, Okay.
Sorry, real quickly, Jenny, I'm going to switch my thing so I can see everybody, so I'm going to sign out and sign right back in, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Here we go. Public hearing 2020-2021 budget and appropriation ordinance number 908. The budget and appropriations ordinance BAO has been reviewed by legal counsel and has been on public display for the required 30-day period. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Carol, would you please give a brief summary?
Sure. The budget was approved last board meeting, and this is the budget and appropriation ordinance, which is required by law to be submitted to the county clerk's office and on file within 3 months of the end of the beginning of our fiscal year. So we really have until May to do so. As mentioned last board meeting, we have the ability to amend the budget and appropriations ordinance. There are actually four different ways to do that. Obviously, we are in a situation of not knowing even what the next couple of months are going to look like, and it might be necessary to amend. And really, there, again, are four different detailed ways to go about it legally per the Park District Code. I don't want to get into the details of it, but I assure you that there are the ability to do that, even passing this ordinance. It has been on display. We had it on display at our office prior to the closure, and then we also had it on display on our website for full transparency, even though we weren't really required to do so to get public input, and we have received none at this point. So I would like to go ahead and actually approve it tonight so we can get it filed with the county clerk's office. And again, just be rest assured that there are four different ways to amend it should we need to do that moving forward.
Okay. Per the posted ordinance, members of the public were able to email or phone in comments on the 2020-2021 Budget and Appropriation Ordinance number 908 until 3 p.m. today. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comments received on the BAO.
There were no public comments received.
Well then, I declare this public hearing closed. Okay, so we're going to take action on this item. Approval of ordinance number 908, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1, 2020. The BAO establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend, only its capacity. The annual budget remains the financial tool which guides the district to which the board holds the staff accountable. Recommended motion, I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 908, an ordinance making combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1, 2020, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Commissioners, any discussion?
No.
This is a legal requirement, right?
It is.
Yeah.
My only thing is, and Jenny, if you could just make sure we put this in the minutes, that I speak for myself, but probably for others as well, that we will likely be taking a hard look at this budget when we come over the crisis that we're in now, the governmental, the state that we're in now. And, it's our job to make sure that we're spending wisely and that we're looking at revenues coming in. So we will certainly take a look at what we have to amend, if anything, using the one of the four tools that.
Well noted. I agree.
All right. If there is nothing more, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Button?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooke?
Yes, motion passes. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. Carol, the financial report, please.
Yeah, we're one month into it, and we all kind of laughed when we took a look at the first month of activity in the new fiscal year, knowing that we actually shut the night of March 12th. It actually looks pretty good at this point. Ironically, the fitness center was really making a lot of headway. The monthly memberships now starting to show. Recreation programs look healthy over last fiscal year. At the same time, daycare almost over doubled as far as the net surplus compared to last fiscal year. So we were making a lot of progress, and I have no doubt that we will get back to it. But I think we for the month of March, compared to the fact that we were down for so long, we look good. We also are in the midst of finalizing the audit. The auditors are actually going to be doing a virtual audit this year, and all the documents uploaded to a portal. So I looked at the last accrued payables coming through, and actually projected numbers as of 2/29/20 look even better than what we had anticipated. So I was really positively looking at the end of the fiscal year going into March. That doesn't look as bad as it could. And I know April will be a turnaround, as we don't have any revenues necessarily coming in except for the virtual programs that we have going on. We did get a tax receipt for April. So there's still some money coming in. It's just not what we're used to. But I think at this point it looks pretty positive, knowing that when we turn the corner, it's going to start to look not so positive, but I think going into that curve, we're doing okay. So could look a lot worse.
Carol, do you have a forecast of what you expect April to look like that you can share with us at some point?
Pardon?
Sorry, do you have a forecast of what April will look like now that we're 20 days in? I presume we have a pretty good idea where April's going to close. Do you have that information for us?
No, I think that's going to be more that we're going to have to take a look at the May committee meeting. I know some of the items related to, we started to do some camp refunds right now. So that's just starting as of yesterday. I know the payroll that we projected out really ended up being less than what I had put in the scenario for you at the April 7th meeting. And there are bits and pieces, but I don't get a real clear picture yet until probably we close the month of April out and we kind of get some information about what the summer is going to look like for the next order.
You guys don't forecast ahead of time, or no? We're going to wait until April?
Well, there's really nothing that we can forecast at this point. I mean, the beach going to go? Is the camps going to go? I think once we know that information, we can come up with some scenarios, but right now it's just a little bit too early. It was just 2 weeks ago that we kind of took a look at it, so.
So you said you did some refunds and stuff just from people that requested it?
Yeah.
And two.
Yeah, so for example,
three people.
And they didn't based on their house fell through because of COVID-19, so they're not moving to Glencoe, so they can't go out to camp.
Okay.
So stuff like that, so.
That makes sense.
Okay.
All righty. On to, if there's nothing more, commissioners, anything more? Okay, so staff reports, we'll start with business.
Yes, really just a follow-up. Again, the auditors are coming next week. We're not coming, but they will be auditing next week. I did touch base with Eric Anderson, and just an FYI, there's no need to really move forward on anything, but he is saying that the markets are starting to improve as far as the 10-year municipal index, and March 9th marked the lowest rate. It was 0.78%. It went up to 2.79% on March 20th, and now it's back down to 1.07%. So we are seeing some correction. It is declining. How far that goes or if it goes back up again is yet to be seen, but there actually are some municipal issuers out there that have started. But it looks better than it did 3 weeks ago, but that's not saying that it's stable by any means, but he's definitely keeping us in the loop on things as well.
Any questions, commissioners?
No, thank you.
Okay, let's move to rec and facilities.
So you would have seen in your packet the Watts report. We're not actually going to do a presentation. Adam here, he just appeared down the bottom of my right screen. Is able to answer any questions, or I can as well if you had anything on the report. Nope.
He's like eight.
I'm sure you're already aware it's not going to be a standard beach season. We have all but two spring enrichments running right now virtually, which is awesome. I believe it's 15 classes in general are running virtually. So that is that's great news. We also have our virtual preschool, which is an optional sign-up. We had some really great special events run, some dance parties, flashlight story nights. So doing a lot of early
I've been impressed. Bobby, I will tell you that I think my kids are really excited for the Minecraft.
Yep.
I don't know if they signed up yet. If not, I'll have to sign them up. But I'm excited for them, I should say.
That's going to be a fun thing. They're both very excited about that.
Shannon put a lot of work into that. That was hard, way harder than you think. So effectively what we're doing, Minecraft is a computer program, and we're doing a challenge to build your favorite part of Glencoe. So we're attracting a whole demographic that tends to not do park district programs. We actually were on a call with some of the other districts today, and we're going to see if we can roll out maybe a North Shore challenge after this one to get more districts involved. Really capitalize on that. Minecraft is really big right now.
Yeah.
It's a reasonably priced $10 to do it. It's some prizes, and it's engaging people, and people are really, really into it right now. So it gives them a little bit of recreation from home.
Yeah,
we've had 20 people sign up in 2 days.
My kids sign up, Bobby?
I didn't see them in there at 4 o'clock today. So I think we're living in at 30, so you might want to get them in soon.
Oh, yeah.
Expand that, though.
I didn't know there was going to be a limit. I'm going to be in big trouble.
We'll probably expand it. So I would encourage people to sign up. So it's getting a lot of traction, which is great. Kind of an out there idea, so it's good. We're putting together camp operations plans, contingency plans, communication plans. We're working on a survey, which we completed today, to engage the parents on what our options are and see what their thoughts about some of the safety arrangements we're putting in place. We're going to do focus groups with parents, really trying to hear what the concerns of the community are related to camp. We know camp's going to be very different. It's not going to be the usual camp. It's going to be probably unlikely any field trips. We're going to be utilizing Ticket Center a lot more, the beach a lot more. We're thinking outside the box. How do we use our parks more? How do we do things with social distancing? So we're working on those. We have our dance theater programs currently all running. Six full enrolled.
One thing on camps, I sent this to Lisa Brooks. I meant to send it to you too. Levi's camp, that he does your camp for a few weeks and another camp for a few weeks, canceled last week. No refunds at all. So you heard about Galileo? So Galileo.
I've heard a lot of other ones that have canceled and have not gotten refunds. It hasn't boded well for their longevity.
It doesn't bode well, but I think, Lisa, you and I chatted about this a few weeks ago about, I think there's going to be a peak in demand for y'all. But with a peak in demand comes, facility challenges. So I know the Sacred Heart School is not hosting Galileo. They're going to need to host somebody, or they may want to host someone. So I would just put that in the back of your thoughts. I don't think you have to do anything, but if you're tough on space, that could be an opportunity.
We're actually working with District 35, so they will be opening the schools for us if we need it.
That's a much better option.
Yeah, so we've already talked to Wayne about that. So,
okay, much better option. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Especially at rainy days, so.
We're thinking outside the box. We got some other ones that are out there as a backup plan, too. Yep. So but any of those ideas are great. The dance theater program, again, there's 266 participants right now in all those programs, 235 individuals. So that's a really great turnout for all our dance theater programs. Our Model Magic with Natalie, our ceramics program instructor, and our ceramics adult classes of over 40 participants. Some of them actually have wait lists, which is awesome. We have been dropping off packets at people's houses. Staff has been going above and beyond. They were in weekends building care packages to drop off, arranging for people to pick stuff up. We have our karate classes, which are going virtually, which I never in a million years would have thought happened, but they've been going really well.
Unbelievable.
Classes have gained traction. We've been partnering with some other districts to see if we can reach minimums on some of our more challenging enrollments. We're game on at 26 kids enrolled. We actually kind of gave a tutorial to Highland Park today on all the great enrichment programs we're doing and how to get virtual programming off the ground. We're really trying to make sure all the other districts around us are all kind of jumping on this and making sure they're providing for their community. And then we're also trying to partner with them with things we may not necessarily be able to offer, like Highland Park Nature Center, trying to work with Northbrook to get some of their fitness members in our virtual fitness class so we can keep costs down. So we're really, partnership, I think, is a key thing over the next few months, making sure everybody's relevant and providing great services for the community. And we're not necessarily, we want to bring in revenue, but we're also making sure we're there for the community when they need us. There's not a lot of other things we have to do. So the rec team has been extremely busy, and the customer service team, Carol's team, has been unbelievable, turning around programs, set up in minutes, dealing with all of the questions we're getting. Everybody's thinking on their feet. It's been a really pleasure working with everyone, and great things happening. So very proud of all of our team.
I have to brag about them a little bit. Within a day of us closing, I turned to Bobby and said, "You need a virtual programming. I don't know how it's going to look, but make it happen." And his team turned it around so fast. They are literally leaders in the state. Other directors are calling me and saying, "Wow, you're weeks ahead of us, maybe months ahead of them." So kudos to them for thinking outside the box, making it happen. I just said, "I'll make all obstacles go away. Let's make this work." And so creative, working incredibly. These virtual programs are not easy. For every hour it would take in person, it takes about 3 hours to get a virtual one class going. So kudos to all of our recreation managers, our instructors, our teachers out there that are making those connections. We are even calling up fitness members, some of the older ones, and just making that social contact to say, telling them we miss them. And Anderson is doing a great job with the fitness programs, but we're doing that one step further. Hey, you know we have these, or how are you doing in checking in with some of those vulnerable populations? So in addition, we're doing a blood drive in our facility next 29th, right?
Yeah.
It's already full. We're not taking walk-ins.
No, I want to come.
I don't know if you can. We'll see. We're going to try to set up a second one, but this one's already full. We're just really trying to help any way we can. We did our spring bunny event, and the money that was generating that program went to the food pantry. So we're there for the community in any way we can. So kudos to Bobby and his team and Carol for just the flexibility and Aaron for working on all this. And just incredibly proud. This really shows why we're a gold medal district. We can turn around things like that fast. What I want to say. So, any questions for Bobby?
I had a question. On our summer programs, does the virus create any special liability issues for us, and is it covered by our insurance carrier?
Yeah, well, we're still talking with Prodrma on all that, and we don't have an answer to that yet, but we'll be working through Prodrma and with other districts that have all those answers to you. We're going to look to bring those, our program recommendations. Should we be able to have summer camp? We're bringing that to the committee in May to talk more detail what we're planning and then get your ideas. But if any of you have ideas or concerns or things we should be thinking of, please email them to me. So the faster I get them, the more we can answer those questions. This is our probably already thought of it, but if when you send us stuff, if we have it, that would be great. I'll give a prime example. Stephanie said early on, like, you should do a virtual birthday party. So like, well, that's a great idea. Such as the rec staff they made it happen. They launched that last week. So any ideas or concerns or anything you're hearing from the public, like, well, we don't want to send our kids to summer camp because, please send that to us so we can address those earlier rather than later. We want to be on top of what people's concerns are. And that's why we're doing a survey, and that's why we're going to do focus groups. As many focus groups as we need to sit down and answer people's questions or address their concerns or learn what they would be worried about, that we will have a more successful camp season moving forward. So that's really important, that engagement with the community. We're just trying to, we're really wrestling about when we're going to do that. We want to too early. We want to too late. So we're just trying to find the right date. And that date will probably depend on what the governor's recommendation for the stay in place order. But we're developing as a team many scenarios. If we start camp on our normal June 15th day, if we're going to start it in July, all those scenarios will be worked out.
Yeah.
beach? How can we open the beach? How can we have lifeguards on? Things like that will also be unveiling in our May meeting.
I have a weekly call with all the other park districts in the state through IPRA, and Poderma is on those calls giving advice on all of the feedback and all the discussion topics. So they are heavily involved in the risk side of that, the risk management. And Chris, I know, has been on calls with Poderma today. So we're working hand in hand with them, and you know, they're giving us recommendations. We're relying on the North Shore Camp Roundtable we're hosting on Wednesday. Tomorrow, so we're going to work with all the other North Shore districts so that we're all moving in the same positive direction. So we're all encountering the same challenges and hurdles. We're all in it together and we can help each other out.
Are you on calls with, I think you guys know this, my sister's a camp director, so I get a lot of information from her. Are you on calls with the American Camping Association? Because I know that they're on calls with them, and she said that within 10 days they're going to get guidelines or recommendations from the CDC.
Yeah.
Are you on calls with them at all?
Yeah, so Stephanie's been on, all of our camp managers are on. They have a webinar this week. So they're doing a bunch of webinars. And all the camps, we're not accredited. We're probably 90% there if we wanted to. Some of it makes it really hard for us as a park district to get fully accredited, but we're on those webinars. We're also working on, believe it or not, virtual. It's a theme right now, virtual camp. How that works, we don't know yet, but there's a lot of ideas in the Facebook group.
I can tell you right now, it's a big focus group. I've talked to people constantly. Nobody wants virtual camps.
You never know where the ideas come from.
And Stephanie, we're also part of the IPRA. There's a full day camp group through IPRA also. So they're utilizing many different means. Obviously, no one wants a virtual day camp, but if a shelter place goes through the summer, activities and functional would be better than not.
And it's not going to be like a 6-hour camp. It's going to be different activities. Nobody knows, but at least people are thinking about it.
I mean, I love what you guys have done. I just have to get on that board with you. I mean, it's been incredible, and I haven't heard any negative feedback except about the tennis courts. People are very upset that those are closed. So I get a lot of emails about that, and I tell them to email Lisa. But, you know, you've been super creative, and I'm sure anything we're thinking of, you've thought of. And I know my family's a part of a lot of the virtual programming, and I really like it. But there is a difference between what we're doing now and virtual camp. So I'll just say that. Camp is a special thing, and it's just
so special.
Yeah.
I agree.
Lisa, you and I chatted about this a few weeks ago as well, but I do think the one thing that I see that's missing that I think a lot of people want to do is how can they give back? So I think the blood drives are a really good way. I would push you guys to think about other ways to community engagement. Canned goods for the food banks. I know I was at the Chicago Food Bank the other day. They're looking for food. More people are looking for food for the first time than ever before. Clothing drives. I love what you guys did with the memories of hearing the stories about how we engaged the kids from, I think it was Gurnee or from Waukegan, to use our beaches. Could we do virtual friendships with those park districts or like adopt a park district or something? I mean, we're really fortunate here in Glencoe, and not a lot of people are. I'd love to have, just as a kind of a cool thing, I'd love to have my 11-year-old read a book to a kid, a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old in another park district that needs, some things like that. I think people are striving to do good, and it's really hard to figure out how to build that in this kind of environment. Food drives, clothing drives, adopt a park district, adopt a friend, pen pals that are really, Zoom pals that you meet someone different. I don't know, some things to do good. But the blood drive is awesome. Put me on the wait list.
Jessica can adopt my son.
I don't think that's what he was talking about, but thanks for that input, Chris.
He's good for story time. Anytime between 9 and 5, Monday through Friday.
Listen, I need to fill gaps between 9 and 5, so you're on. You just let me know when, and we'll do it.
And I'm sure you guys have
filed off. doing food drives and clothing drives just to, that puts our staff in more of a vulnerable position. And really what the food pantries need is cash donations, because they can
buy so much
more, they can deal for canned goods that they can pull them out. So
yeah.
I don't know, we'll try to figure out if there's any way we can do like a fundraiser or that type, because I think from what I've heard, cash donations, what they really need.
They need cash, but they like cash because it means they can buy stuff in bulk and send it out.
Right.
But they, just because they prefer cash doesn't mean that they don't like the other stuff as well. But
yeah.
And even if they I would be all in favor of, hey kids, bring some change to the, you know, put a bucket out in front of the park district with a lockbox and drop your change in here. Something like that. Where,
yeah, look at that.
You know, where people could just feel like they're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
We can work with family services because they're doing a lot of that for the community, and we'll keep doing that. So we'll keep on doing that. And we're going to do more blood drives. Again, we have to be very careful about social distancing and those, so that's why we're taking appointments. We're going to look to do more if the shelter place is extended. We're just very careful about booking too far out, because once camps are up and running, we're going to need every square inch of our facility. So, but we'll probably do more in May if the shelter in place is suspended, which we believe it is. So.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to add something. You know, I'm out and about on my bike and walking around, and people, I think, are rediscovering our parks, and they really, really like it. And I've gotten terrific feedback about what a wonderful park system we have, what a neat community we're in, and I just wanted to share that with everybody, because I think not only here but nationally we're rediscovering our park and recreation programs.
Yeah, that'll come to our parks report, but you're exactly right. So, Stephanie, did you have something?
I'm sure you guys thought of this, but this is something my sister sent to me, and I meant to email it to you. She's ordering a lot of those, like, hand washing stations with, like, the four sinks, and I just don't want them to, like, run out, because I know a lot of the camps are ordering those. So I'm sure you thought of it, but...
Yep.
Boy, you guys, it's hard to get a word in edgewise. Everybody's got such good ideas.
I just
want to second or fourth the comment that I've heard a lot of good things about the virtual programming. So thank you, Bobby and team, for pulling that off so quickly and with such high quality. And I would like to ask you for a taste or a few ideas to wet our whistles about what you're thinking about camp and how you might do that safely.
How we would actually execute it?
Yeah, I know Lisa set it up for the May committee meeting, but I'm just wondering, you've probably already been thinking about it, so what's on your mind?
We have a major team meeting on Friday, and I would hate to put anything out now at a public meeting until we have some of those ideas solidified, so I'm happy to send you some notes after that meeting. But
okay. Good. Okay.
Okay, that was, and Lisa, I shared this with you, but I'll share it with the whole team. I had a call today from someone who was researching different communities, what kind of programming they had at the park districts. This is somebody who works in districts and was most impressed with the Glencoe Park District website. Said it was the only one that was very clear, that showed what they had to offer, that had multiple things to on offer, and thought that it was done really well. So I don't know who's been working on that. Communication is everything. It's absolutely everything. So if you can communicate clearly with people and give them the information they want without frustrating them on a website, you're doing a great job. So pass that along, Lisa, whoever is working on that.
Aaron, pass it on to them.
So
it's not just coming up with the programs, it's getting the information out. So both of those things are so important, and thank you for that. Okay, so let us move on to parks and maintenance.
Well, kind of echo what Dudley said. I think everyone in Glencoe has gone to the park.
Yeah.
So we're just seeing a kind of usage that we've never seen before, even like 4th of July, Memorial Day. We're actually going through a month's worth of dog dropping bags a week. So we've seen an uptick that, I mean, some of the feedback has been unbelievable. I had a resident call me and tell me she had gone for a walk in the park in 15 years, and it was unbelievable how cool the playground was at Shell. I mean, something like that, you know, I mean, it's been a nice encounter having to go up and kind of accost people about social distancing. So to get that positive feedback at the same time that you're telling people, like, kind of spread out, has been nice. So staff has been busy with the park system. As I noted in my report, we suspended the mowing contract and the horticulture contract because with the decrease in athletic field use, we've been able to transition those labor hours to mowing, which saves us about $2,900 a week, which is money that we won't have to spend in the end. You know, it's not like it's a sunk cost. So with the athletic fields, we are still maintaining them. We're trying to steward the investments that we've made over the last 5 years. So they're not being prepped for games, but we're still fertilizing and seeding and mowing and doing the things that we're going to do so they're going to be ready for the residents when all of this is over. It turns out that the one thing that's made athletic fields difficult to manage is actually athletics. So the fields have been much easier to take care of when nobody's using them. So if you have an opportunity to go look at a baseball or soccer field, they're probably never going to look the way they do this May ever again in the history of Glencoe. But staff have been busy prepping the Linden House for sale, so cleaning it, making some repairs for the realtor's direction in a minor nature, doing some landscaping, things like that. As Bobby mentioned, the beach, we were able to execute beach grading this week, which was great. We did find that the lake had deposited a lot of our sand further up on the beach this year, so we were able to capture some of that material and kind of spread out the beach again. So it's not quite what we're historically used to, but it's not as bad as it looked in, say, February or early March. As far as the facilities go, we've worked hard to kind of mothball things. So shutting down heaters, air conditioners, lights, unplugged fridges, turning off pilot lights on stoves, really doing anything that we can to conserve funding for items that are really not essential right now. So that's going well. We expect to see some savings because of that. On top of that, work, if you've been down to see the halfway house, it was unbelievable. If you have an opportunity to drive down there, it really puts in perspective how bad it looked before. Unfortunately, when we took delivery of the clay tiles, the delivery company broke about 30% of them. So that's not going to be a cost to the park district or the contractor, but the company that makes the tiles is in Ohio, which is currently shut down. So we have our name first on the list for replacement tiles, but the contractor has pretty much progressed as far as they can without that material, and based on the kind of pandemic force majeure status, it's likely that when the tiles come, the contractor will obviously finish the job, but will probably miss that late May deadline, depending on when Ohio opens up. We know that's where the tiles are made, from Ludovici, so we know Ohio has been pretty aggressive in their stay-at-home. So we'll just kind of have to see when that happens. But other than that, have there been any particular questions about the parks or anything that we're doing?
Are you able to staff them and keep, I mean, it looks like you are, but staff them and keep them up without that third-party contractor? Our teams are able to do this now that we don't have the fields being used for athletics, like you were saying?
You know what, we will. It's likely that when we spool operations back up, we're going to have to make some changes immediately because we just won't have the labor hours. It really depends on the beach. We have been able to use some facility staff for some light park staff, but at the time being, we're able to maintain things to a high standard with the teams that we have. But again, playgrounds are closed. All the courts are closed. There's no athletics. So, you know, depending on when and if, operations kind of change here in the future, we're going to have to make future adjustments.
Yep. Bless you, Carol.
Thank you.
But you have to be flexible.
Yeah. I
hear you. It's all about being flexible and changing from week to week.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. And the parks look great. So, good job.
Thank you.
Parks look great.
And Chris, I think you invented a new measure of economic activity in your doggy bag usage statistic.
Right?
Call the Federal Reserve.
One has to wonder why dogs are pooping more.
So I think people are just thinking,
if they're not pooping in their backyard more.
Well, and I think people are throwing out their grocery bags now.
Yeah. But I think people are walking their dogs more. Lisa, it has to do with the toilet paper shortage. Apparently there was never a toilet paper shortage. It was that people were using more toilet paper at home because they weren't going to the office. So dogs are not going to their backyard. They're going to our parks.
Okay, so moving on. Thank you, Chris. Moving on to marketing communications. How is Erin doing?
Erin's doing great. She is going to be induced this weekend if the baby does not come before that. So that's why she's not on the call tonight. So she's finishing up the brochure, the fall brochure right now before she goes on maternity leave. So that is very nice. So we moved up that schedule to get that done before my maternity leave. So Erin's been extremely busy trying to do the brochure, get all the social media, the signs that we have progressively put throughout our park system, the website, all that falls under her, and the additional communications we've been out sending out to teachers. In addition to that, she has been developing a task list for her temporary replacement, Tracy, who will be a contractor with us. And her hours are dependent on how much we need her moving forward. So she's been developing that whole task list, and we'll be meeting with Tracy tomorrow to firm up all those details. She has extensive experience in nonprofit libraries and stuff like that. So we're in good shape moving forward. She's also been doing a lot of social media posts, both for our programs, but also just for other people's programs and activities for community to do, so like to do that. I think that's about it. We'll keep you informed when the baby comes. And we do not know the gender of that baby yet, so.
Very exciting, very exciting. And I know what it's like to be working that much and to be just about having a baby, and man, it's tough. So she's doing great.
She's been doing an amazing job. It's just so tough. So she's like, I'm glad I've been home the last couple months to kind of help with that, but she's been working very hard. So thanks to Carol and her team for getting them all set up so she could work virtually.
Great. If nothing else on that, we will move to the always scintillating Safety and Wellness Committee, which I think, Carol, that's you.
Well, we what's that?
I don't think we ever reported the board.
No, I don't think we had to cancel our March meeting, so we really don't really have anything other than the pandemic that we're handling right now.
Isn't that ironic? Safety and Wellness canceled. We've got a pandemic. Okay. All right. Yes, obviously you're immersed in safety and wellness. Enough on that. Good. Okay, so Lisa, we will move to the executive director report.
Okay. Obviously, we're at COVID-19 all the time, and we're working very closely with the village and the school district and the libraries. We talk twice a week, talking about different scenarios to keep their happy in the village. We're very close to the village and our park closures and such, and then working with the school district on possible camp locations this summer as we try to social distance our campers. Obviously, social media has been a big part, our closure signs. Let's talk about Park Ambassador for a little bit. We're one of the few districts doing that also, but I think it's been very effective. At the beach, we've been able to successfully deter large groups from coming. And for the most part, when large groups do come, they've been very respectful to our park ambassadors. So obviously, their safety is our first priority. And they've been able to socially distance, stay 6 feet away, you know, break up those groups, send them on their way. We did notice that this weekend, the beach wasn't such a focus, but it was more our parks. With a lot of groups trying to play. In fact, we just broke up about 20 people at Jacob tonight. About five different families and five different dogs. It was turning into a dog park, and so Chris was able to break that up. So we're noticing that more and more people are getting a little more anxious and wanting to get out with their families. So we may look at actually adding more park ambassadors to see if that helps. There are part-time staff. We offer them the opportunity to do that. It's very safe. And until people are not respectful to our staff, We also have a threat line to public safety, should they become disrespectful, and public safety can deal with it from that point on. So,
yeah, Lisa.
Really, really appreciate you being able to walk down to the beach and or sitting on the beach looking at the water with your immediate family. So that's been helpful. We are going to, we know, Stephanie said send me out the email. So, we are getting, probably the biggest thing is tennis courts. People don't understand why we close tennis courts. They think it's socially distancing sport. Same with golf courses. Golf courses are the same issue. People are like, hey, I can golf by myself. The problem is that people are not using the tennis courts for that purpose. We've used the dog park. We've seen it for roller hockey. We've seen it used for ball sports. Anything that other than tennis. Tennis was being used. So we are going to look at different ways that that are both safe and fiscally appropriate to try to open a tennis court. Maybe use a park ambassador. Maybe use a time frame that will open a tennis court. Maybe figure out how we can schedule, I guess, time. So we're still investigating that to see if that's even a possibility of opening one of those for the site. Because it's not going to work just by opening the tennis court. People have proven they can't do that in parks, so they're going to do it in tennis court. But we'll keep on looking into that and report back as it gets more of what we can do on that. Just so you know, most of the districts around us have closed all their sports courts, have closed all their basketball courts, everything's closed, playgrounds. So we're just following suit with everybody else. Us and Will Met are the ones who have park ambassadors for our beaches because we both felt the need to keep those open as long as we can, but other beaches around us have totally closed. So we'll keep you up to date on that, on the status of that. So,
I know I mentioned this last time, and I'll probably mention it again every time. We haven't had any incidents with the public and our park ambassadors, but I think one incident is too much. So please, I still don't understand why we're not relying on the, Glencoe Public Safety to be sort of the police of the beach. I think it could put our folks in a tough situation. I don't mind if we want to have a park ambassador at a tennis court that enforces, hey, look, you know, this tennis court's for tennis. I think that's reasonable. But it makes me a little bit nervous with the beach, because I went for a run yesterday and there were cars lined up all over. You know, you can't park in the parking lot, but you can park on Park, on Hazel, on Beach. It makes me nervous when to think that, all it takes is one person who's like, you know what, you see on the news, you see these rallies going on the news. People are not using their senses all the time. And I just feel like they're not prepared, like public safety is, to deal with that. So.
Oh, and it's your choice if you want us to close the beach, but public safety cannot be down there as much as our park ambassadors can. They just can't. They have other things they're doing in town. They're patrolling.
I'd actually consider it. I don't necessarily think it's the park district's job to police the public. And if it is that big of a concern, I think that it's something that we should consider. I just don't feel comfortable having a school teacher or someone else like try to break up a group of 10.
Oh, we're not breaking anybody up. If it becomes to that point where people are being closed, I will not hesitate to close it.
Okay.
Right now, all they're doing is they're standing 6 feet away and saying, hey, no groups allowed, and they're all turning away. I haven't heard bodies in charge of this area. Have you heard anybody or anybody
not yet, but as the summer comes up, it just makes me nervous. It makes me nervous.
If it becomes a problem, that's why in our ordinance I have it that I have the authority to close it, because I would not hesitate to do that, but the feedback, if you're going to get a lot of feedback from closing tennis courts, the residents, if they're not able to walk down there, that will even cause a bigger problem. And then gathering on the overlook may be even worse. So,
I personally don't have a problem. If people want to congregate in groups on that's, if you want to congregate on a group at a beach, Michael Covey doesn't care. It doesn't really impact me or impact the pool. I personally don't have a problem with people congregating on a beach or using take it as a dog park, unless it's going to destroy the property. That's a different story. But if Glencoe says that, we don't want crowds here and it's that important to us, to some extent, I think it's a public safety issue, not a park district issue. So I don't know why we as the board care if there's a group of six people who are all hugging on the beach. Like, why is that our job to police, but if you're hugging on a sidewalk, it's not?
Well, because they're on park district property.
But
the staff is in charge of that.
And I think the problem also is people notice and they call the park district and they say, this is what's happening. So it, no matter what, it becomes our problem. And I had a discussion with Larry Levin, who is, I guess, my counterpart at the village.
Yep.
They're very concerned with the drain on public safety's time to be like the hall monitor. And
yeah,
to whatever extent we're able to manage, and right now I feel we're able to manage, should that change as the weather gets warmer, the crowds get heavier, the belligerence raises, you know, then I'm sure you'll reassess, Bobby, Lisa. But for now, it seems to be working. I was actually at the beach this weekend, and it was busy, but it was completely just families separately enjoying
their own thing. I mean, I think most people are going to do that, Lisa, and I think that most people are wise. I just don't want us to think, you know what, oh, it only takes one incident for us to change. It takes one incident to have something bad happen. So, that's why
I understand what you're saying.
We hire officers, I'd say do it, but anyway.
Well, the only way if we want to close the beach, we have fence ready that they can close it tomorrow. We cannot just leave it open, though, because the village has asked us, if we're not using the parking disaster program, to close the beach.
The village has said that if we don't.
It's not for the social good of the community by keeping it open. So, I mean, we have fence. We're prepared if people start not listening right now. It's been very successful. The residents have seen it. They're very pleased with our attempt to allow them to keep walking down there. I know it's going to probably get more difficult as it gets warmer, and that's why I asked permission to readjust that. That's why Chris has already ordered fencing. If you've been down the beach, you see the trail is full of fencing, because we're prepared to block it off in within 3 hours. I just think we've been we've had very good public PR on us trying to stop that. Before we started doing the park disaster, we were getting blown up on the next door for not doing anything. So it's like the park district is doing this, so we're going to get the black eye.
Am I the outlier here? Am I the only one that thinks, just out of curiosity from Josh and Dudley, am I the only one that thinks that we could be in a tough situation?
Well, I've talked to the ambassadors, and they have been very respectful to people. They said they've not had any problems managing to this point. We'll just have to take a look at what happens later on in the summer.
I think the current policy is appropriate, Michael. There's two or three ideas that I think about as we examine this. One is the concept of boundary testing. Like a lot of toddlers will do, and even sometimes teenagers, it turns out I think adults do that too. They see how far they can go and what they can get away with. But at the end of the day, if you push back just a little bit, 9 times out of 10 or even more, they back down. And I think that's a lot of what the ambassadors do for us here, is they prevent people from going beyond those appropriate boundaries. The second concept I think about is just example, right? If we don't have the ambassadors and we have a group that gets away with something at the beach or at a park, then another group decides, well, if they're doing it, then I can do it too. And then, you know, one thing leads to another, and you have hundreds of people who are, and then it's out of control, and an ambassador can't control it. And then you do need to bring in the police, or you need to shut the thing down. The last thing I would say on it, Michael, is that we don't rely on the police as our front line in every instance. If you're a store owner and somebody's loitering, you know, if teenagers are loitering, you don't necessarily call the police right off the bat. You say, hey, you know, you can't hang out here. And if they don't respect that, then you call the police.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. I would have, if you had told me that Bobby or Chris were going to be down there doing it, I would feel probably more comfortable than someone who's, you know, than the guy who sweeps the floors or the, you know, the person who restocks the shelves doing that. Because I think there's a difference between like an owner or director versus a worker. And
I have been there probably three or four
I'm happy with it for now. I'm glad I called it out. I think we just revisit this if there's a, you know, if there's a need to later on.
Well, if it's in our ordinance that we're officially passing tonight, you give me that discretion. And the reason discretion is given to me so I can pull that trigger immediately. So if I see there's a problem on 80-degree day and Bobby calls me and say, it's out of control and you aren't listening, then we'll have a crew down there within an hour to put that stuff. So we're prepared to do that.
I think it's important to remember that the type of staff that we have doing the ambassador jobs is the same type of staff that we do running the beach. Really, we get to
see
the
people. Yeah.
You know, the opportunity to have a wackadoo is far more, you know, statistically possible when it's 100 degrees and you're trying to deal with somebody on the beach who has their breakfast to drink. So I think that those are not the types of interactions we're having right now versus the types of interactions that you may have during just a regular beach.
Yeah, you're
my question. No, I appreciate it. I'm done.
For this kind of, those kind of.
Wackadoo is a technical term as well.
It is. We do know that a lot, unfortunately. So.
I mean, the thing about it is, I think everyone's looking at our park staff like therapists.
Yeah.
People want to talk to them now. Every knowledge that's been a million years, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. It's like, hey, Tom, how's it going? He's like, oh my God, who is that?
Thanks.
You know? I mean, I'm not saying commissioners, but. You
okay,
know.
I won't thank him next time I run, Chris.
Yeah,
I won't.
They know you guys.
Actually,
is that sassy, Lisa? Am I allowed to say that? It's sassy, though, right?
Well, too sassy.
Yeah. Dan was like, no one came by. Like, oh, thank you so much for being on our. I'm going to give you a map. Here's my address. It's going to be in the mailbox. You know, people are really reaching out.
It's really an unbelievable connection that people are making. And I don't know if it's just wanting to talk to another adult. You know, but...
Yeah, it's
right. So funny. I think about everything we've done since I've been a commissioner is always geared towards trying to get people out there doing things, and it took this for it to happen. So I look at that as a positive. And it is nice that they're connecting to staff. And it helps the park district in a lot of ways because it validates and justifies what we're out there doing. So... Yeah. So
our staff just aren't faceless landscapers. They're part of the fabric of the community.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Okay. That's it, Lisa? Okay. So let's move to these final little business here. I entertain a motion to approve the resolution adopting temporary rules for Ordinance 700 regulating the use of parks and property owned or controlled by the Park District, Resolution Number 910 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Bobby? You say yes?
I was on mute, yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes.
Right, Lisa, can I circle back? We missed discussion of the Central Fund 65
capital projects.
Can we do that one really quick? Right after the director report.
Oh, yes. God, sorry about that. Lisa and Chris will now lead the discussion of, oh, that is important, of Essential Fund 65 capital projects. Take it away.
All right, so I'm going to throw it to Chris.
So, you know, as obviously this is a very unique situation, we started to really comb through all of, you know, our work and what we're doing and try to figure out, you know, what's essential and what's not essential right now. So one of the places we started was Fund 65, which is, as you know, kind of our keeping the lights on capital fund. So in looking at that, we initially had about $700,000 worth of projects budgeted. We currently have, with the receipt of last tax payment, about $470,000 on hand in that account. So in looking at what's essential versus non-essential, we looked at things like trucks, sailboats, kilns, the children's circle floor, and said, you know, we're going to recommend on postponing those types of items right now, so we kind of come through this phase. So we're looking at about $480,000 in non-essential projects. So what we're recommending is about $215,000 in non-essential projects. So the reasoning behind that is I've broken out the justification for each project. What it basically comes down to is some of these items are required for the basic services the carpenter offers: hot water, heat, air conditioning. Other items, in particular seal coating, we're at rock bottom prices where oil's at right now. So the quotes that I've gotten, 10, 15,
are they paying us to do it for us?
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for, Josh.
Someone's
watching the futures market on oil.
Three projects on there that I estimate will likely come in between 10 and 50% under budget. We've got firms approaching us that are looking to bid projects to keep their employees off unemployment. So in particular, like the hot water boiler for the Tanker Center, based on our engineering assessment adjusted for CPI, we budgeted that around $25,000, and that was a conservative budget. I've got quotes for a little over $11,000. So I think the opportunity to really capture some fire sale level prices is here for us. So I wanted to get some feedback, and myself and Lisa, on just, you know, do we consider these things essential? Are these things we're okay to proceed with? Knowing that the board previously approved the rooftop units but asked for a 45-day hold on it, and the other three items will likely not come back to the board for approval based on the current bid climate. So we have the rooftop units, which basically heat and cool the gym and the majority of the Taken offices and lobby. We have the boilers, which provide all the hot water for Taken, classrooms, the bathrooms, the sinks, the showers. We have seal coating the parking lot, and the reasoning behind that is it's likely going to be a major interruption in service, and the time to do it is when the facility's closed, as well as the low commodity prices for oil. We may adjust and not have an August shutdown, so we have to make sure that we steward that investment. And then finally, we have the fire alarm in the Parks Department, not currently functional, which is out of full compliance. So we need to make that repair to ensure that our buildings won't break down.
So what we basically want to do is take advantage of this shutdown. And all those items there wouldn't pass the producers once we did any of those projects. And so what we're trying to do is minimize those disruptions. We're going to have to do them no matter what. We don't want to close down any portion of our building after we open it back up, except the children's circle. We're still talking about that August vacation for those teachers at that point. So that's still for discussion later. So. What we're looking for is there's no action items to be noticed. We already approved the one, which is a look back. So pretty much a consensus that you're okay with us going forward on these, getting competitive quotes for that. As Chris said, we probably will not bring them back to board for approval, so we'll be within my spending limit, with the exception of the R2U units, which were already approved.
Chris?
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, Chris, go ahead. Don't forget about the sustainability components of this. Energy Star appliances, Energy Star conditioners, and certainly the environmentally friendly coating for the Caddo surface.
Okay.
Stephanie?
Since we're all COVID-19 all the time, obviously we need hot water. So I definitely am for that. And also with the those are air conditioning units, right, RTU?
Right.
Another COVID thing, I guess, because we just had our guy out and he was telling us about the UV filters that you put in there that supposedly, you know, can kill bacteria. So I was just wondering if you had asked him about that and if we can include that. I don't know how much that is.
So, you know, it's interesting that you mention that, because one of the things that right now we have a lot of companies that are trying to figure out, like, what their business model is. So one of those things is UV filters coming out and sanitizing your air conditioners. There's just not a lot of data on how valuable any of that is. I mean, we saw this, and not to go too far off the rails, but there were some law changes made around commercial swimming pools and the drains, and all these companies rushed all these products to market, and then after 6 or 7 months, none of the products even met the specifications that were outlined by the federal government. So while I think that those ideas are likely going to be in the future for municipalities, I think that we have to wait until we have an understanding of, is it even effective? You know, is it worth the value? You know, those types of situations. So
yeah, we've got
we're going down the right path, but I think that train's not quite to that station.
Yeah.
Chris, we've got a lot of stuff on work at this about the HEPA filters that we have. And I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of opportunistic, a lot of opportunistic individuals, and I would probably stick with the guidelines that we have. I'd just be cautious of that too. I think it's smart.
I mean, I had a company reach out to me that wanted to pressure wash our playgrounds with bleach. And it's like, well, what does that provide us other than giving you a $10,000 bill?
Well, and also putting bleach into the groundwater.
Correct. So it's just there's so many companies out there that are trying to innovate that, you know, you may not even be dealing with somebody who's being duplicitous, but you may not have any real data to back up why you're spending the taxpayers' money right now.
Very good.
And then Chris, the parking lots, I mean, obviously they look fine. I know I've read the report that it's to maintain that investment.
Exactly. So I need your
expertise on that. But, I mean, obviously they look fine. And to me it was like they were completed yesterday, but time goes by very fast. So.
Yeah, you typically seal code every other year. So on the skate park lot, we're 3 years out, and the majority of the other lots are due this year. So, you know, we're looking at a probably $10,000 to $11,000 cost to maintain an investment that we've sunk probably between $500,000 and $700,000 in the last 3 years.
Any other questions?
Chris, I thought you wanted the parks garage to burn down.
But the key is you want it to burn down and have a working fire alarm. That's the key.
Yeah.
Because then it's not your fault it burned down.
Okay.
Chris, should we get this new building at some point? Is this multi-$1,000 fire alarm system transferable, or is it just, but we have to do it anyway.
We were looking at different vendors, and the number that you see budgeted is the full number to replace the system. It's like we could repair the existing system for $7,000 to $10,000. So it's basically 50% of what's budgeted, but, you know, until the job is done, I can't say, is it going to be $12,000, is it going to be $7,000, but we're in a position that if we have a fire, we're not going to fly it.
Oh.
And then we don't get the insurance money.
I'm sorry. So my joke aside, are you suggesting here that we are not going to pursue the other non-essential?
No, I'm suggesting that if one of the garages burned down and it burns the next-door neighbor's house down, we want to make sure that it was code compliant with the fire alarm.
No, I'm okay with the fire alarm. That was a joke. What I'm asking here is, are you suggesting that you only want to pursue these $215,000 worth of projects now, and that you still want to pursue the other ones later this year, or you just want to defer them indefinitely until next year or something?
Well, I think we have to put a pin on it. I mean, if we go back to regular business July 1st, we may find, hey, we can do some of these things. But, you know, we may not buy the sailboats this year or buy the truck. But I think it's too soon to say, you know, yes, we need to change the whole operation. But, you know, I just don't see pursuing something right now that's not essential while we're closed.
Yeah, we're just talking about this until then. We'll revisit all those other capital projects as we see how long how pandemic goes on.
I mean, the pickup truck, Ford is closed. They're not even making trucks.
But we already
postponed that. The Children's Circle floor, that product comes from overseas. It's not going to be available right now anyway.
Yeah, so sailboats, we don't buy. We have bought them already. We're not going to use them this summer.
Yeah.
Where the contracts are unlikely going to be, you know, rentals this summer. So.
But anyway, we'll bring those up for discussion later on.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that seems like a good plan.
Okay, anyone else?
We're good with that? Nod your head. Okay.
Yep. Everyone good?
Okay. I want to see what a $12,500 water heater looks like, because I got one in my basement right here for $400, but take it a little bigger than my house.
Not a heater.
It's not a heater, it's a boiler, so big difference.
And I'll give you a tour if you want.
I do want that, but not tonight. That'd be awesome.
It has to be virtual.
All right. Alrighty. So we will jump ahead to, would any commissioner like to discuss these minutes in closed session?
Those are the executive session minutes that were handed out earlier today.
If anyone has anything to say, no.
If you want to stop, you have to go to the executive session, just so you know. Okay.
Everyone good? Okay.
Yeah, I reviewed them. They're okay with me.
Okay. All right. I understand a motion to approve and keep confidential executive session minutes, including October 15th, November 19th, December 3rd, 2019, and January 7th, February 4th, and February 18th, 2020, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2, parentheses C, parentheses 21, as presented. Are you in a problem with that, Josh? Oh,
no, you got photobombed.
Oh, yeah, good.
Well, what Josh's kids did, I figured out my kids would photobomb me. Okay, now.
Anita, so moved. Stephanie, your eyes have disappeared.
I know. I don't know.
So creepy.
So creepy it is.
Whoa.
She's melting.
You only have a face. Your hair is completely gone.
Where's that 540 whistle you needed? We're so close to being done, people.
I got so moved.
Second. Okay, so we got Josh so moved, and we got the second with Devin.
Oh, yeah.
And there's discussion, no discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Agami?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. A motion passes. Is there any other business?
No other business.
All right. And we have deemed there is no reason to enter into closed session. So if it's okay with you, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. Chris, where's your kid? I want to see your baby.
Who seconded
Let's see your baby.
Who seconded that motion?
Josh.
Okay. All in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
All right. Okay. Take a walk.